Yes. And how long were you there at Abuja?
Till 72. That was from 65 to 72.
And did you then have experience of other potteries in Africa? Or was that something that came later on?
No. But what I failed to tell you about the other thing was that when I took over, the first thing I was told was, you know, how to keep the books straight. You see, that was really what they were concerned about. And then I was told, well, you have to make the place pay. We are changing the policy. It's no longer going to be a pottery training center. Mm. It's going to be a pottery, and you've got to make the place pay. And I was also told, quite unofficially, that there had been some American economists, and they had written a report about the pottery and recommended that it should be closed down. So I wrote a great long report on, you know, how production should increase, and I drew graphs with red lines and black lines and green lines, and it was accepted.
So it survived.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, I was sort of confronted with this really quite difficult task because, you know, there were about 25, 27 people working there. And I think that the annual subsidy was something like 80%. So I thought, well, you know, how do you make that pay? Well, as Peter Bruce Dick mentioned, you know, there was a slight overstaffing, shall we say, in certain parts, and people were very lazy. And I thought, well, should I sack people or not? And I thought, well, that would be a mistake. It would be better to try to increase production. And so that's what I did. Now, when Michael, in the sort of, there were about 3 months gap, 3 months overlap between the time that I knew that I had to take over and the time that Michael left. And I went up to Michael and had dinner with him every week for that time. And one of the things that he said was, well, I consider that my job to have been to set standards, not to be a taskmaster. And I think that that's why people were very relaxed about their work, because he was very exacting about standards. But I then had to set about, you know, changing things. And I did so with conviction, I might say, because I was paid at that time something like £1,200 a year, which was the amount of tax which 750 farmers would have to pay. And the potters were also paid from government, of course. And so I thought, well, and I knew that the farmers had the greatest difficulty in paying their taxes. And I thought, well, why should these farmers have to work hard to support the potters who are just simply parasitic? They have to pay their way as well. Why shouldn't they? Because this was before the days of oil, when, you know, that was money for nothing, of course. And this was before that time. So I felt, well, people had to work. And so gradually, I sort of made people work a little bit hard. I sat down, as Peter Bruce Dick was mentioning about the woodcutters, they told me, well, it takes 3 weeks to saw up the wood for a firing. And so I thought, well, and every time I walked past them, they all seemed to be working very hard, of course. And I thought, well, let me just see how long it actually takes. So I chose the laziest laborer, and I plonked him down, and I sent the other ones off to get on with glazing and so on. And we had, you know, two-handled saw, you see, like that, and he sat on one side and I sat on the other. And, you know, he pretended to work. He didn't. I pushed and pulled that saw. And in one day, we sawed up enough wood, just the two of us, for half the firing, instead of taking six men 3 weeks.